ATX Next, presented by the Austin Business Journal, exploring the future of Austin and the challenges we face. Brought to you by Trimbuilt Construction, building Austin since 1984, and by the business litigation law firm of Kane and Skarnoulis.
Hello again. ABJ Managing Editor Will Anderson here for another episode of the ETX Next podcast. As I record this in downtown Austin, I'm surrounded by towers filled with giant tech companies, Google, Meta, Indeed, and others. It's a stark reminder of how big tech covets the talent and reputation of Austin. I don't think anyone would argue that we've surpassed Silicon Valley or San Francisco in terms of the concentration of tech workers and companies, but Central Texas can certainly make the case that it's catching up. This trend has brought many benefits to the local economy. But in a city flush with tech jobs and tech salaries, it seems worthwhile to consider the parts of Austin that have not benefited from the boom. A 2021 study by the city of Austin found that 93% of residents have internet access through their home computers or other devices. That's a high percentage, but it glosses over the fact that there are big disparities in terms of geography and income level. The same city report found that certain parts of Austin, especially east of I-35, lack internet access altogether or only have low-quality connections. That's a problem if you're trying to work remotely or take class online and live in this historically black neighborhood. So what responsibility do tech companies, and the business community more widely, have toward helping those most in need in Austin? To help answer that question, I sat down with Matt Stevenson, founder and CEO of Code to College. His nonprofit connects many of those large corporate players with students from underrepresented backgrounds who want to get into STEM fields. Black and Hispanic children, girls, students from low-income families. Through education and mentorship, Code to College prepares these diverse young people for jobs in software engineering, DevOps, and other tech professions. Thank you for joining us, Matt. Welcome to the ATX Next podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Will.
So you are the CEO and co-founder of Code to College. Could you explain to us what that organization does?
Absolutely. Code to College is an Austin-based but nationally serving organization based here in the great state of Texas. And we serve as a conduit between historically marginalized and underestimated high school students, so predominantly Black, Brown, and girls, and connect them with tech companies ranging from Atlassian, Indeed, VMware, Google, Meta, and more. We've got about 130 corporate partners to speak of.
That's great. And I know the pandemic probably had a large impact on you guys as it did for the world, for Austin, but especially in the world of nonprofits. So what's the latest? Now, I know you guys probably had to adapt during the pandemic, but it sounds like you were able to get back to some in-person programming too recently.
That's correct. And, you know, I neglected to share a little bit about our program model, but Code to College delivers after-school coding education to all of our students. We've developed several project-based technical curricula that are all industry relevant because we built them in partnership with our corporate partners. Students work on these after school twice weekly over the course of 10 weeks per wave. And at the end, they've got several projects to speak of. In addition to that, we offer a variety of professional development workshops, everything from mock interviews to resume development, in addition to STEM industry case competitions, so that students can get their hands dirty and learn a little bit more about industries like fintech, semiconductors, even private equity. And finally, we bring all of these experiences and skills to bear and introduce a growing number of these high school students to paid summer internships. At this point, we've placed over 250 high schoolers into paid tech internships where they've worked in software engineering, mobile app development, IT, data science, and more roles, earning upwards of $6,000 over the course of the summer, which they're then able to put towards college expenses, household expenses, and more.
That's the how of how you guys operate and get, you know, kids, young people trained on these highly marketable and useful skills.
Yes, that's right. You mentioned before about us going in person. We had been in person, as many organizations had been up until the pandemic, we had to make a hard right turn and move to virtual programming. And we've been virtual ever since March of 2020, which I will say we've got a stalwart group of employees who helped make that pivot possible. But since June of this year, we've started to have more in-person programming. We had our Backyard STEM Fest back in June, which was a great event where we had 10 partners ranging from Oracle to Google and Meta, and it was hosted by Favor Delivery and had students and their families come through to learn a little bit more about some of the STEM case competitions and with these mini activations. There were coding competitions, there was STEM trivia, even STEM history that students engaged in, which was fantastic. And we've been doing these monthly events ever since then. It's been a great way to rebuild the community in person.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all realize just how, well, not realize, but we're forced to go to this digital remote model. And in some cases, it's made some parts of our business, you know, Austin Business Journal, and I assume yours, stronger. And there's been challenges, but we didn't realize we could do it so well. So I hope that was the case. It sounds like with your, I guess, so the after school curriculum transitioned to like a digital model for kids.
It did. You know, pre-pandemic, we actually had volunteers driving out to Del Valle, Manor, Pflugerville, Round Rock from a lot of the tech hubs like Tech Ridge and the Domain and downtown. But now volunteers are able to tune in from the comfort of their laptop, which typically, given where we are today, is from home. I will also say that our workshops have taken place from home and the majority of our internships continue to be virtual, although some were in person or hybrid this past summer.
And when you were talking about getting back with, you know, your Backyard STEM Fest, sound like it was a lot of fun. STEM trivia sounds really interesting to me. I do like, you know, bar trivia. I'm horrible at it, but I always like learning trivia. You mentioned, you know, corporate partners, Indeed, Google, Fave, like all these companies. And it just reminds me that Austin is this tech hub now on par with maybe, you know, just Silicon Valley, Seattle, a few other select places in the US. And that's a great place to be if you're looking for corporate partners, maybe, but it also highlights there's a stark digital divide. And there's some parts of the Austin community that lack internet access or literacy or just education for things about coding, fintech, those other topics you said. So interesting position to be in. And I guess, first of all, I'd say, you know, on the positives, it does seem like you have a lot of corporate support. And maybe could you talk about what it's like to court that and what the message is when you walk into the Meta office to talk to them about sponsoring something?
Yeah, absolutely. So one other thing I wanted to touch upon that you mentioned was, I think a lot of people don't realize that Texas is actually the number one state for computer science. We are very well connected. A lot of our schools have resources, even the under-resourced schools. A lot of them have laptops and are what are called one-to-one, so one laptop per student. But yes, there is still a dramatic digital divide, and that's where we come in. Our students are able to work with these volunteers who are subject matter experts and technologists at some of these leading companies. And to your question of, you know, what does the pitch look like when I'm walking into these offices? It's, we understand that you as an organization, you as a company, you are looking to make an impact in your backyard. I myself, when I was in the private sector, I came from finance and worked for Goldman Sachs. I wanted to figure out how could I share the joy of risk management with students. You know, I think when you hear it, most adults would probably start falling asleep. But I mean, I think insurance and risk management is and the capital markets are incredible. But there was no opportunity to just walk into a school and just talk to students and give a presentation on that. And that's what we offer. We have the partnerships and the relationships with these schools, and we have embedded in our program model several opportunities. At this point, about a dozen different volunteer opportunities, and they're all skills-based volunteer opportunities. And so, for example, some of the feedback that we get from some of these partners are, Matt, we love Code to College because you are engaging a population of our talent and our workforce that typically disengages, our engineers. You know, yes, you're going to have talent in HR raise their hand when there's a resume review or there's an opportunity to go out and do, you know, sort of like a Habitat for Humanity or something outdoors. But oftentimes the engineers sort of generally speaking, stereotypically shirk back or retreat from those, whereas they lean into these opportunities to become instructors or to review technical resumes or to interview our students for a technical round of interviews.
That's a really great point. I love this idea you brought up earlier of being a conduit, you know, kind of a central place where one side needs help. Say it's someone who wants to learn coding but doesn't have the access to it. Someone who wants to give back or like teach, but like there's nothing in the middle to teach those to unless they like literally show up at the school and they really discourage you. There's no meeting ground in the middle. Yeah, so I think the conduit is a great idea. But there is this idea of a digital divide, right? And I think of back in the pandemic when Austin ISD was driving their school buses around to park and offer Wi-Fi for children who didn't have it at home. And all of a sudden you had to be online. Can you bring us any stories that you like from the community of students you serve about what it can mean to have this kind of help when you're growing and learning?
Absolutely. So I'll actually give you technically two stories. One story is back in March of 2020, when we were disconnected from, at that point, about 500 students who we were currently serving. We had to make a plea to our community, and I started a weekly email newsletter just letting all of our partners, our funders, our volunteers know what was happening in the world of Code to College and what our asks were. And one of those asks was for donated laptops. And we had several partners, NXP, Indeed, and at the time, I believe the one other one was Meta. They all offered up donated refurbished laptops. Now, some of the laptops that we received from one of our partners, they needed to be reimaged. So Vivek Sagi, who is the CTO at Eventbrite, he drove over to my house here in Pflugerville, picked up with his son 80 laptops and spent the weekend reimaging them, brought them back on Monday for us to then distribute to our students. So that's the first story of the impact and just the investment from our partners. The second part of that is over the last 2.5 years, we've basically redonated or redistributed over 200 laptops to students all over the country, most of them here in the Austin area. And I have at least 10 students that I can think of who have received them, were then able to participate in our program. And then those students went on to internships. One of those young ladies, her name is Favor. This past summer, she interned at Atlassian. She did so well. She has already received a return offer to Atlassian. And this is all before she heads off to UT Austin this fall. But that is just one of dozens of students who've been impacted by these incredible laptop donations.
ATX Next, sponsored by Trimbuilt Construction, building Austin since 1984. Visit trimbuilt.com or call 512-689-7881. Let's start the conversation about your project. And by the business litigation law firm of Kane and Scarnoulis PLLC, handling high-profile, high-stakes, and mission-critical matters for you and your business. Learn more at cstrial.com.
You talked earlier about 250-plus high schoolers who have gone through paid internships thanks to Code to College, and I think I saw on the website there was, 1,700 students that have been served, but I think that was an old number on y'all's website. Can you give me any more idea about the impact and scope of what Code to College has accomplished?
Absolutely. So the true number is over 2,500 at this point.
Oh, okay.
We have launched in 20 cities nationally, five of them here in Texas. So we're in the big four, Houston, Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio, but we're also in San Angelo. And then we also have a constellation of cities that we serve in the Midwest and also in the Northeast. And really, our guiding star has been there is such a wealth of opportunity in second tier cities. And, to your earlier point about us being on par with Palo Alto, I think Austin is quickly emerging from being a second tier city to a first tier city. It's happening so fast. But there's this opportunity for us to leverage the corporate ecosystem to deliver and meet the needs of the community that it surrounds. And so much attention is given to New York. I'm from New York, so will always love New York and keep my 917, and, you know, in San Francisco as well. But there's so much in the middle that does not get as much attention or investment, and that needs to change. And I think that we're helping to drive that change.
Well, I mean, the whole point of this is diversity, right? And how it's a moral imperative, but honestly is good for business too. And that includes geographic diversity. But this idea that you don't know what problems to solve for middle America if you're not there, or how to make your AI that doesn't like mistakenly identify people because their skin color, because you don't have any people of color on your engineering team. So there's a breadth of diversity that needs to be addressed. And my apologies, I didn't realize you guys were so widespread and doing so much. That's great.
Hey, you know, we've got a lot of strengths. One of them is not PR. And so we're working on it. So I'm glad that we're talking.
When I spoke with Stephanie Dismore, who's like the senior VP and managing director for all of North America for HP, she said that, quote, when I think about the tech industry and the growth of Austin, those two things go hand in hand. So now I strongly believe that the tech industry has such a large presence. I believe we can and should really do more to support our local community. Just building off what you said there, where we have this big tech community and it's about giving back now. So I wonder just if you could expand at all on what you think. Does tech have an obligation, speaking, you know, kind of grandly, does tech have an obligation to help fund kind of that next level of diverse candidates and workforce?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that there absolutely, from the corporate side, is a moral imperative to ensure that you're serving all and that your products and your services are accessible to all. But I also think I would absolutely agree with you that it's just good business. And, you know, we're proving it with our model. In the early days of Code to College, when I was pounding the pavement, walking up and down Congress here in Austin, what I would typically hear is, well, what could a high school student do? And why would we hire a high school student? Because, of course, so many companies use internships as a conversion tool, right? You want to get an upperclassman in college, give them a great experience, and then convert them to a full-time employee. What we're offering is a much longer-term view. We're effectively saying for 6 years, you won't know whether or not they'll even convert to an FTE with you. But it takes a visionary, and by visionary, I mean the companies and the volunteers we work with, to recognize this is actually the future of work. We sit in this really exciting slice of the future of work where if we can grab a student as early as high school and invest in them with the education, the exposure, and the experience, you have a much more dangerous, in the best way possible, FTE once they reach that level. And we're already seeing it. We're just finishing our 6 year of programming, and we already see the full-time offers for several of the students who started with us as high school students. And many of them are not coming in as level ones. They're coming in as level three software engineers. I mean, just think of the impact of having the same employee for six summers year after year. They know your business well, they know your stack, they know what's important to you, and they align with your values because you keep asking them back and they keep coming back. So that's what we offer. It is absolutely a long-term play. I've said this time and time again to the companies who take their time and say not yet, is that you're going to regret not starting with us now. And they always say, we wish we started earlier with Code to College because we would have been able to see the results that we're seeing now years ago.
Well, there's no better time to start than yesterday. So I love this idea of the long term, right? There's some quarterly pressure in my business and on Wall Street. And it's this idea that you should have started a couple quarters ago, but if you can't, you better start now, because we do want to see those efforts pay dividends, but it does take time. And that's a really good way to think of it, I believe. You got me excited. So,
to that point, if I could build on it, again, in the earlier days, we were really focused on working with, you know, large scale public companies who had an established internship program, companies like Atlassian, companies like the, you know, the Indeeds. But since then, we've started to work with earlier stage, oftentimes VC-backed companies, many of whom have started to say or start with the conversation of like, look, we don't have any internship program, let alone an undergraduate one. And we are now working with Ojo Labs. We're now working with Aceable, and they're having really strong results with our high school interns. And we're entering into longer term partnerships with them because they understand the impact of working with students who are at this ultra early career stage, but bringing them back year after year. So I'm really excited about the opportunity here. I also love being able to say, you have no excuse, and being able to say to a much larger, more mature company, we've got a bunch of startups working with us. So what's your excuse?
I mean, big tech is all over this town now, but we're still a startup town in a lot of ways. That's great that you're able to be the value add for them as well. Matt, thank you so much for joining me on the ATX Next podcast. Anything else that we didn't talk about or any final acknowledgments you want to throw in?
Just three things, and I'll make them quick. One, we have an initiative called the Texas 2000. Over the next 4 years, we endeavor to place an additional 2,000 Texas high school students into paid summer internships. So right now I'm having conversations just like this to amplify our work and bring on even more what we call visionary partners who hire our high school interns. So if you hear the sound of my voice and you're not already working with us, you should be. The second thing is we are always looking for volunteers. It's baked into our program model. So again, if you hear the sound of my voice and your company is not already hosting volunteers, with Code to College, we should get started on that. And then finally, we are always in need of donated laptops. Roughly 10 to 15%, depending on the wave of the students we serve each and every wave, need laptops. They don't have one at home and they may not have access to one at school. And therefore, we're always in need. If your company typically, whether it's 2 years or 3 years, recycle them, we would love them. So please reach out to me. I'm at Matt, M-A-T-T, at code2college.org. Again, Matt at code2college.org. We would love to work with you.
There is undoubtedly some procurement managers out there right now that have that issue to deal with, nowhere to put the laptops. So Matt, thank you so much for joining me on ATX Next. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much, Will.
ATX Next. Exploring the future of Austin and the challenges we face. Presented by the Austin Business Journal and brought to you by Trimbuilt Construction, building Austin since 1984, and the business litigation law firm of Kane and Skarnoulis.